I was a failure. I was a failure, and I get very sad and depressed about it, and I can't be that no more. I really feel like I've betrayed myself big time. Because I think when I know when I was growing up, I had all the potential in the world. Now I'm back to being Mark, who has a beer in his hand and is thinking about the great American script and the great American movie. And this time I cannot fail. I won't fail. It's not in me. You don't get second chances and mess them up. You'd be a fool to. Not just finishing films or in the long run getting some money, but it's right now. I feel like it's, like I said, 5, 10, 15 years ago. Now I've got the same options again, and this time I'm not going to fail. This time it's most important not to fail, just to drink and dream, but rather to create and complete.
When did you first get involved, and how and why?
Well, I think I had done a radio show with Mark first, and then part of the radio show, he had mentioned other projects he was doing.
Not the 11th hour, this is the 12th hour. Lisa and Uncle Ed, radio show. Dear girl, do you know what you possess in your hand? Do you have any idea of its capabilities? Do you have any reasonable semblance? Look, what we're doing right here, it's past 3 o'clock. It's, oh my God, it's 20 after 3. We've got to get these pages printed. We've got to get them straight to the copier. We've got madmen putting scarecrows up front. God knows why. They have no pragmatic purpose to the show, but I'd like to keep the troops motivated. Idle hands are known to be the devil's workshop, so we want to keep things along, you know. I'm sitting here. You're asking me questions. I'm trying to get this finished. I've got people walking around. I wish I could give them destinies, but I have to adhere to this keyboard.
He asked me to come over and help him out. He said he needs some help. I'm always helping him with his films, and we used to do a lot of partying together, but I don't party anymore.
Dear girl, do you know what you possess in your hand? Do you have any idea of its capabilities? Do you have any inkling, any semblance of understanding whatsoever? I just made it up. I want to write that down. Do you have any...
Stevens! But he's not...
He's ready. Would you mind stepping out a minute?
Kicked out of my own kingdom?
Sorry, I owe you one.
She's such a delightful...
Ken, listen up.
Why, thank you, Lisa. That really makes my day.
Neil, I didn't know you
That I was looking around the corner? Well then, surprise.
No! No!
Oh, we recorded, The Creeps. And while we were recording The Creeps, I was smoking dope and drinking beer, and it really struck me. I was no longer paying attention to the actors and the performances, and I thought, my God, what am I doing this for, you know? And I realized also when I was recording that I wasn't even a director. There were stilted performances, and I did nothing to rectify the situation. So I think, though, it's good to face things like this, because then you can deal with them and realize them. And when you're ready to shoot Northwestern, you've got these emotions and these complexities cornered. UWM, amount due $878.54. That's funny. I just borrowed gas money from my mom tonight. This is going to be interesting. The IRS, Wisconsin. Oh, my God. Amount delinquent, $81.11. Oh, man. Resulting in a lien on any real and personal property that you own within 10 days of this notice, September 6th, and we're October 19th. Luckily, it's just $81. What are they going to take? You know, like my Night of the Living Dead book? Oh, my God. Legal actions. Unbelievable. Man, who wants to be faced with this crap? Your AT&T Universal card has arrived? Oh, God. Kick fucking ass. I got a MasterCard. I don't believe it, man. Life is kind of cool sometimes.
Explain to you what you're doing today, Mark.
Today I'm going to be handing out flyers saying independent feature film. It has the dates. It has the number for the casting and the crew. And we're going to get that out to all of the suburban libraries, because a lot of people go there and they'll see that.
Cool, right there. I'll move this sucker right there.
I think when it first started it was 14, but it said it was 12. That's quite possible, because I can... He was always talking filming and that he was going to make movies, and so, always.
He used to have on his wall in his bedroom just a wall plastered with movie ads, mostly horror movie ads, but movie ads of all kinds.
He got an 8mm camera from a guy down the street, and the focus was terrible, but instant filmmaker.
I'm going to tell you why films fail, and I'm going to tell you why films succeed, and I'm going to tell you about this one right here, Northwestern. A regular feature film shot on black and white negative. It's going to look beautiful. There's your secondary lead right there. What do you think about that, Yas?
Do you have, funding-wise, you have everything covered?
Hey, you're going to be in a drive-in, a beautiful drive-in with an umbrella of gray over you. You're going to be in a junkyard with thousands of rusted memories just laying there. You are going to be among the company of filmmakers this time, but you're going to have something under your belt, man, besides, whatever the hell you throw in the wash.
He's like, okay, well, Ken, I'm going to make a movie. Will you star in it? I says, well, of course, huh? Of course I will. So we went to Valhalla Cemetery and shot our first Super 8 film, and it was called More the Scarier, and it was, I was 11 years old at the time. He was 14.
Yeah, I was in the More the Scarier 3.
What was that about?
That was about, we were riding into a cemetery in the back of a truck, and we were drinking vodka, and I was playing my guitar, and then it's a silent film, and then we go out into the woods, and there's this mystery killer that's killing all of us.
This is where this is where Dawn runs her haunted house, right? But it's got to have some killer interiors, right? Because you don't know too many people running haunted houses, right? In films, it's ad executives or whatever else the hell they do. This chick, man, is going to be running, working, doing a haunted house off to the side. So you get some really cool interior stuff there. You know what I'm saying? You ever see Manhattan? You ever see The Seventh Seal, where they have these great dialogues with these great backgrounds?
Yeah.
You know, talking about the plague and there's a gargoyle in the back, or talking about life and there's Jupiter or Saturn in the back. I mean, this just looks right. I mean, this is perfect. I mean, the way I see it. And of course, there'll be a whole crowd of people here, so we got to make like a line where people can't go. Have a hell of a lot of assistant directors saying, hey, could you step back like 5 feet?
I was reading an interview of him, and he's going, oh, this is my dream. Since I was a little kid filming in a cemetery, I've dreamt of making a feature film. And I was like, oh my God, this is his whole life, is making this one film. It's like, I can lose 10 weekends to help him do that.
Hey, a synopsis on the story?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to go. The film starts, check it out, beautiful, stunning, black and white shot right now at the magic hour as we float past dilapidated duplexes, worn trailer courts, and I've been location scouting them. So when I do this, I've already got what's in between my hands. And right then at that moment, people say, my God, I'm glad I'm sitting here because I'm actually seeing something for once. We get to see Americans and American dreams, and you won't walk away depressed after seeing this, period.
My name is Matthew Weissman, and I'm working on a film entitled Northwestern, and I'm doing casting for the film right now. Do you want to know about the film?
186-minute phone call to California at prime rates? What could you possibly talk to that stupid-ass brother of yours about for that long?
You know he's been having psychological problems lately.
Not on my phone bill, he doesn't.
Take a motherfucking wild guess. Well, look here, 186-minute phone call to California on primetime? What is that?
They're making a mockery out of my words, man. This whole thing is turning into a theatrical mockery. You understand that, Mike?
No.
Well, you will. I'm going to go in there flying, man, and read this fucker like it's supposed to be read, because I've had it.
You stupid fucking bitch! This is 186 fucking minute phone call at goddamn prime time!
I paid the fucking bill!
I'm calling you to let you know that there is a cast meeting tomorrow night.
Looks like there's a lot of work we have to kind of, like, scrape together, and hopefully everything will collide and we'll make our deadline.
See, I come to the airport all the time. When I want to work, there's no phones ringing, there's no people talking to you, and if you're hungry, it's like tough shit, you know, you can't stop and justify your inaction of script writing by making a pizza or something, man, you gotta be in this car, you have no other choice. Why the hell are we here? We're working on Northwestern, the third draft. I've gotta get it so it's not embarrassing to give out, you know what I mean? There's some corny dialogue that make the Pope weep, and I've gotta resurrect that, so to speak. I feel so trapped. You know how long we've been living together? Since high school. She dropped out, I graduated. Her dad sold a house, it's almost paid off. Why don't you move out? It's a free country. I don't know. I guess it's just one of those things. Who the hell in their right mind would tell the world, yeah, I'm going to do this. And then think, man, where am I going to... I'm broke, man. I got to get gas tomorrow. And dude's talking about making a feature film. Oh, shit.
Now we're going to talk about high-level negotiations, because for the first time in your life, you're going to make a profit, man, just like that.
No, you haven't even started at all, hardly. Well, not hard. You did start somewhat, yeah, but not very much.
Bill traditionally is quite close to his money, and it's quite a challenge to pry anything loose from him money-wise. And Mark, on the other hand, has, if anybody, the ability to pry it loose.
Let me show you something, William.
Talk to me.
Wow.
That's
How
right.
about that? Wow.
She wants to be in your film, Bill.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, we can start then. Tom, why don't you show us what you got, as in the way of breakdown?
My duties on Northwestern are those of the production manager.
Yeah, I've gone over the script on a scene-by-scene basis, and we've got it all broken down, color-coded, broken down. So everything from you know, from cast to props to atmosphere stunts.
I think what Mark's idea of a film, of this film, and Tom Beach's idea of a film are just so different. Both of them are knowledgeable filmmakers, but it's a different kind of knowledge. One's more primeval and one's more textbook.
The location type, which would be interior day, night, exterior night, day.
So you have to have, you got to get a cameraman, you got to get a sound recorder, a boom operator, an assistant cameraman to do the clap like that. And then you want a couple others on the sideline running things
as
around.
As far as where Mark's film stands now, I'm not really too sure. I know that we sort of have had a breakdown in communication lately.
Thanks a lot, though.
Uh-huh.
Hey, you know what would be really cool is a cup of coffee.
Okay, I'll make
it. So I can get the hell out of this bed. You know how many phone calls there are sitting there?
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
I'll put on the coffee.
I'd like to sleep here all day, but I can't, man. I got to type up sheets and have them copied for the meeting tonight. Man, I got to get some information across.
But, man, there's no excuses, Paul. No one has ever, ever paid admission to see an excuse. No one has ever faced a black screen that says, well, if we had these set of circumstances, we would have shot this scene, so please forgive us and use your imagination. I've been to the movies hundreds of times. That's never occurred. You know, it's like you're the lone man on this, lone captain on this big-ass ocean liner, man, and it's like, goddamn, I need people to cook the food. I need people to run the motors. I need people to make sure that we don't go into the rocks and so forth like that. And
Oh, my God.
And at about 12:30, the realization seriously hit me. No way. I have absolutely no fucking money. I have no hope of getting any money until Colburn is finished. Aesthetically, I'm not ready. The script is not ready. The casting hasn't even begun. The locations are scant at best. Are you crazy? That's 11 days away from now.
My first impression of him was, you know, he looks like a pretty raw dog. You know, he's pretty tall and crazy looking. I liked it.
He showed a lot of promise as far as schooling, that is, his testing was concerned. Not that he was that great a student, but he qualified for that gifted schooling system they have in Milwaukee.
He dropped out of high school because he thought he didn't learn anything there.
His main asset is really just his mouth, his talking, and he can be pretty convincing, you know, because he's very assertive, very aggressive. And but what he actually can do, I think that he's just best suited for working in a factory, maybe.
When he decided to join the Army, I think that was not only a decision to get away from here, but to try to straighten out his life. And that didn't work too well.
And Mark moved back from the Army and said, you know, let's make another film, you know, and made a couple other shorts, you know, from there. And then along came Colburn.
This is ridiculous. We started May 94, man. We've got every F-stop known to man in the film. And right now, we got to take action, man. We got to go out to that field, put those scarecrows in on a killer slant. You know, they've been there for years. The farm's burnt down. It's going to be the opening shots for Colburn, you know.
And what is Colburn?
Colburn's a 35-minute direct market thriller film shot on 16mm black and white reversal. It's an alcoholic, man, compelled to go to this group meeting by his one and only friends left, but they're not that helpful to group, you know. You know about the group thing?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what we're doing a film on. Colburn, man, we gotta get this sucker done, though. Seriously. Last night, man, I was so drunk, I was calling Morocco, man. Calling, trying to get to the Hotel Hilton at Tangiers in Casablanca, man. That's pathetic, man. Is that what you want to do with your life? Suck down peppermint schnapps and try to call Morocco at 2 in the morning? That's senseless. But that's what happens, man. So anyway, we're out here today to try to redeem it, get these establishing shots for Colburn, and, you know, do what you can. You know, we're in America today, and we're ready to roll. One, two, three. But check it out, Mike. Now, do you know about the placement of the scarecrows? What they're doing here? Like, one's got to be, like, on this angle, and the other one's going to be on the other angle. And check it out when you look at the scarecrows. Do you see? Do you get it?
Yeah.
Okay.
We did a lot of fun things making the movie. We one time we brought Mark's car into a vacant drive-thru theater, took iron rods and smashed up his car. And another time, we dragged Mark, like, head first through a swamp, like, 25 times.
Colburn relates to Northwesters in this sense. If I don't go into the black with Colburn, if I don't make money back off of Colburn, how the hell am I going to make Northwestern? I've got to make money back on Colburn. So when I did these figures, 500, 1,000, 2,000, and 3,000 units, right? I said, check this out. Fuck this, man. I'm sorry for erasing that, but it's 3,000 units for 45 grand. Because if I don't get that 45 grand, man, I will not be shit. So there's no 500 copies, there's no 1,000, there's no 2,000. There's fucking 3,000 to be sold. Because if I don't get that, I will never get the ability to make Northwestern. You're signing for it because those checks are going to be in Northwest Productions name and 3,000 plus interest if you want.
Northwestern's name.
That's the title of the company. That's who the checks get made out to. $3,000 of those checks goes to you. You get your $3,000 back.
Doesn't sound very kosher to me.
Don't.
Okay,
just make sure they're endorsed Northwest Productions.
Northwest Productions, okay.
And put into that.
And he's the only name on it, Will Sporchart.
How am I going to know about all this that you're doing?
Because it cannot leave the account without your signature.
I don't know what you're doing.
No, do you understand that?
I don't have to
put it. You get a statement.
No one can take anything out.
You have a statement every month. Nobody can take any money out unless you have to sign for it.
It's in your control.
Sounds like the usual.
All right.
Sounds like the unusual.
Here, shake on it. There you have it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Columbus took a chance.
Lindbergh
took a chance. Have faith.
Faith on nothing.
Bill, man, you can't go out like that.
You got to be upbeat.
Yeah. I mean, you got to.
It's going to work.
Well, the good that is.
And when you go in the grave and you're just laying there in the casket, the last hoorah, the final goodbye, what are you going to think about, Bill? Huh?
You tell me.
Well, that's the whole deal, man. You got to assert yourself, man, and think, I am here because. You ever think about that?
I am here because.
Hey man, you have 2 hours tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and be an extra in a film? Are you sure about that, Charlie? Hey, do you know where I live? I live 2 blocks from you. All right, dude, you got a pen? Can you get a pen?
Yeah, I mean, you've seen a lot of movies, haven't you?
Yeah.
And you basically know how to frame shots?
I guess. No, not really.
But, I mean, if you would see an action, you would kind of, like, centrifugally focus on it being in the center?
Yeah, I can figure that out, yeah.
And fuck it, man. I think my mom's going to end up going out in the woods. I mean, it's just one of those things.
I have my shopping to do, and I have
This is the last day I can shoot. All of the extras have just fell through, man, except for Mike Shank right there, all right? You got to help me.
Mark, I have so much to do.
And I'm doomed. I'm doomed. I'm doomed.
What am I supposed to do?
Just stand there.
Hey, Mike, make sure everyone has brown gloves.
Does everyone have brown gloves?
Oh, dude. you got...
I have some here.
Okay, yeah.
So the group of the Colvin, and then I got one shot, which is a close-up of me, and then one shot of a swish right to left of a tight of a Colvin member as he sees him for the first time. Yeah. Yeah. Low angle, man. Gonna need somebody to scale a tree and get that snow off. Son of a fucking bitch. Everybody just come up for a second. Right up to the camera. I'm just gonna go wide on you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, this is kind of great, but okay, you got to spread apart like about 5 feet each. That way? Okay, very cool.
Kenny, can you please put that soda, my soda, on the tarp so it's not frozen when we're done? Because I'd like to drink it, please.
We're going to do a 5-6-8 split then.
Hey, you guys got to look menacing. Can you be more menacing? Oh man, alright, well we gotta do what we can do then, I guess. Alright,
I think it went pretty good, but I don't want to say that until I see the footage, man, because you never know what's going to happen. I've been out here 5 fucking times now, man, doing the same shit. But I'll fucking get this down, man, and I think with these last 4 shots, man, we might have this fucker in the can.
Cut, how's that, man? Talk to me.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we can't see your beard. How's that?
You can see part of
the mirror. Okay, this is the edge of the close-up, and then like...
Fuck it, you're right.
Man, I go out here, just go out there, hour
2 hours, drive around these houses, man, and it's like, okay, now I know what I'm here for again, fine, and you got that squared away. But to be serious, the American dream stays with me each and every day, and I'm glad we're doing this today because I was really getting down and out, and thank God they extended my phone bill till Friday and lowered it too. But anyway, so today, man, I'm just going to go right back to work, man, so we can get... Actually, my house ain't going to look like this, man. It's going to be flatter, a lot flatter, less obnoxious than this.
He wants to have the good life eventually. He wants the big house and the nice car and all that. But at this point, you know, for the last, I don't know, I'd say maybe 10, 15 years, he's been delivering newspapers.
And then I realized one thing, in a kind of a Christian-coded ethical arena, why should you be successful while others are not? Well, you know what? I got over that guilt. Because you know what? Hey, I don't know that answer. I don't know why. It feels like in a Christian, what Jesus would be saying, it's totally un-Christian, man, to try to get ahead. Because everyone's on an equal level playing field, an equal par. But you know what? I'm not a Christian. I'm half and half, man. Half's with the Satanist idea and half the Christian idea. Satanist, which is the pursuit of human endeavors, and Christianity, which is the pursuit of higher levels, you know?
Okay, part of the script is asking for a junkyard. There's actually several scenes.
This new girlfriend is slick. She's cool.
Yeah.
You know, and she's over, you know, what
how
the hell?
How did you meet this girl, Mark?
Oh, she's helping on the film, man.
And if he's able to even do 25% of what he says, it is more than what most people accomplish. He's got a goal and he's going after it one way or another. And he's going to achieve it.
Don't push me, you.
Why?
You fox.
I don't care.
You're not a fox.
Happy birthday, little Cece.
No. You are a tomboy.
Hey, what do you say?
Pee-pee.
Say hi, Daddy.
Hi, Daddy.
Happy birthday.
Well, Mark's got 3 kids by Alyssa. I don't know. From what Mark tells me, they never get along anymore, you know.
Alyssa shouldn't be, you know, shouldn't be worrying about what I'm doing. You know, I could just be having a fine time with Joan there.
There's, like, lots of connections when there's kids. And sometimes it's not broken off as quickly as it should be.
How do you feel about Joan?
Oh, man, I like her. Because, in fact, it's the one girl that I really respect and like because she's fun to be around, you know. And I don't want to mess that up. Bill! Hey, man, how you doing?
Hi.
You're just sitting there, eh?
Uh-huh.
Hey, cheer up, man. The world is yours. What are you doing?
Just
What, contemplating what you did with your life?
Yeah, sort of.
What'd you do with your life?
Well, what didn't I do?
Well, what are your plans for the future?
It doesn't look like I got much plans.
I heard you're going to be a big-time movie producer.
Really?
Well, good news, Bill. We're working very hard. You'll have your $3,000 back very soon.
Really?
Yep. And we've got the whole tomorrow storyboarded out here.
I know. I saw that a couple of times already.
When did you see the storyboards?
Well, you gave it to me to peruse. So I did.
You perused them? Where are they?
It's in here.
How come every time I give you something, it ends up under the shoes or something?
Keep it here.
Within weeks, the film will be cut, finished, mixed, throw it an optical track on the release print, get it onto 3/4 inch, bump it down to 1/2 inch for multiple sales. What do you think about that?
Multiple sales to who?
To the buying audience. We're selling 3,000 units.
Who's the buying audience?
Phil, man, we're selling 3,000 units at $14.95 each, which is a return of $45,000. Pay for the damn film, get the $3,000 back, pay everyone back,
Take the profits.
That'll be the day. That'll be the day.
And you know what? I'm going to bring over a bottle of wine, man. Do you have a preference?
That'll be the day.
Red or white wine? Red or white?
Red or white.
Yeah, now you're thinking. And you get your name on the credits, man, as a producer.
You are on the path, one way path to hell.
How's it going?
Really good.
Looking good.
Thank you.
Okay, Robert George is right on. No, I didn't.
Okay.
Action.
Oh, this is wrong. This is all wrong. God damn it! It's claustrophobic. It's too claustrophobic.
I don't know why Mark is spending all this time completing Coven when this is supposed to be his pre-production time for Northwestern, which I was originally involved with.
You're supposed to be taking care of my money and doesn't tell me a darn thing about it. Neither does the bank or anybody else.
How much money do you have?
$280,000. What? Supposed to be. But I don't know if it actually is.
I spoke to some of the actors here today and they said this has been going on for 2 years, which... And one way you gotta look at it, he's a determined motherfucker, man. If he stuck this out for a half hour film, so... I guess he probably will get Northwestern finished.
All we want to do is finalize the kitchen, get the props set and all of that stuff. We're ready for Tom's close-up, and we got to keep moving, man. We got to move. And that's the bottom line, man. It's a noisy day. This is supposed to take place in the dead of winter, but there's birds. You hear those birds? I mean, they're just going, so I'm going to cover that up a little bit more and just make the best of it that you can.
I was actually looking at the storyboard here. I hadn't looked at it since yesterday, and it refreshed my memory about the... shot 37 here where my head goes through the cupboard, and I had done this one about a year and a half ago or whenever we filmed it last, and this was the one shot that I had hoped that we got right the first time.
Mark. Mike, take it easy. Let's not go through all
this. Hey, man, what the fuck's the matter with you, man? Man. And you didn't? Oh, you did follow me.
Yeah.
We didn't move out?
No.
Okay, we gotta move out, man.
Right. All right, we're gonna need to get another one.
We're gonna do a take three. It's about 11:30 in the morning. We got till 6 p.m. to do 52 fucking shots, and we're gonna do it, and we're gonna end it in a beautiful fucking bloodbath, man. So I don't wanna. I'll be right there. I got the perfect blankets, man. I just found them. That camera will be silent.
Help me! What is wrong with you, man? What the hell fucking wrong with you, man?
Well, we're running a little late here, and I am getting set up for the last shot. I always give a finite time that I'm going to end so I can get out of here at a reasonable time, but I'm also aware that it's kind of Mark's dream to finish the film, and so I try to strike a balance and, you know, not split too early.
There's a door that Steve, Tom Schimmels, is going to get his head put through. I put a few scores in here to lessen the blow, so permanent damage done to him. You know, I'm sure he appreciates that.
Sorry, your finger all right?
And action.
Motherfucker, Motherfucker,
oh, man, you alright?
Yeah.
What?
Well, this door opened up.
Dude, you missed that scoring, man.
Motherfucker, Motherfucker, you crazy, man!
All right, hold on, man. Hold on. Cut.
You
got
this man an ice pack.
Cut. Oh, dude, you know what? I'm sorry I tried to put your head in this. This is gonna be like take some shit.
Go.
You sick motherfucker! You crazy motherfucker! You motherfucker!
out of here, man. Nerves twitching, please. Fingers. Just the fingers. Just the fingers. Just the fingers, man. Heartbeat.
The name of the film is Coven.
It's pronounced Coven, man. What else could it be pronounced?
Coven. That's the proper pronunciation.
No. Coven sounds like oven, man, and that's just, it doesn't work.
Coven?
Unless you want to put an umlaut or something over the O.
A what? You mean those, hold on a second, those two dots?
Yes. Possible.
There's something cinematic about it. It's like a stage or something. You look all around you, man. It's the graveyard is like a stage. And then all of these dead people, too. It's like they can't bitch at you. You don't have to hear their opinions. They're there, though. They're here as decent human beings, finally. Here you were equal. You know, parents would be coming after you because you had a movie camera in one hand and beer in another, man. They wouldn't tolerate. I mean, that was the joy. That was and is the joy of life. That wasn't tolerated, man, when you were 14, 15 years old, man. They'd start coming after you. So you'd get out here into the cemetery with your beer and your film camera, and you were one with the world and equal with the world. It was a vast work field.
You'd always say that he was going to become a millionaire, and all of us would be jealous of him. And it didn't really make us envious of him. It just made, at least me anyway, just feel kind of sorry for him, pity him, that he felt that way. Honestly, I thought that he was going to grow up to be like a stalker, a serial killer, or do something where he would try to plan someone's death, you know? And unfortunately, sometimes that idea that it might be mine.
What were the films that influenced you most when you were younger?
Dawn of the Dead and Night of the Living Dead and Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
But what about those films influenced you?
Oh, it's simple. Dawn of the Dead seemed a lot more realistic than Hollywood films. There was gray skies and dead trees and the National Guard out there, and it was just something I didn't see in other films. It was just great. The dialogue was different. There was blood. Night of Living Dead, it was in black and white, dead trees and gray skies. And Texas Chainsaw Massacre was like one of those 16mm accident films they'd show you in school. You know, the grain of it and the saturated color of it, just really, and I'd be having nightmares. I mean, that was really like being alive and watching something instead of something dead like a Hollywood film.
What was the last movie he took you to?
Apocalypse Now.
Did you like it?
Because it's the horror.
Who said that?
The guy on Apocalypse Now.
I don't live here.
Well, I'm pretty sure my mom and dad live here. I guess, well, they keep an address here, even though I think, say my dad, he's not around very much. My mom, Swedish girl, a little excitable. And my mother and my father, they just don't mix very well.
The home environment wasn't what had I had say on what it should be, it would have been somewhat different. It's just getting into personal.
Because there always was conflict, you never knew what was going to happen, and sometimes it'd be a little bit scary, and I think how he dealt with it was completely withdrawn from the family.
$2 and $2, so I'll either win $10 or $1 if I win.
No, I didn't win anything.
Life is hard.
Yeah, life is hard.
A potato. I need a match. I won $2 on this one.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, see? $2. $2 plus a potato is $2.
Well, I've been losing about $10 a day for the last week. Here's what I think of the lottery. I think it's like when you play the lottery, sometimes you win and sometimes you lose, but it's better than using drugs or alcohol, because when you use drugs or alcohol, especially drugs, you always lose.
I'm telling this to my mom. His Alcoholics Anonymous sponsor drives him over to his Gamblers Anonymous meetings.
Oh,
yeah, who's also his sponsor also has a problem.
Yeah.
But
How does your sponsor gamble? Does he do scratch-offs? He goes there for scratch-off problems?
Maybe he buys $5 ones.
What do you owe? How much do you owe to do?
Dude, I owe like $10,000 to my dad, $3,600 to child support, $1,500 to the IRS, MasterCard like $500, Marshall Fields card like for about $100, a phone probably like $300. I owe like state tax $50. I mean, that's not paying the state tax. That's state tax.
Did he say Cliff said he won't give Mark any more money?
No, he said this is enough now because he owes him so much.
I'm not interested in financing something that I can't be 100% in sympathy with myself. You have to cut out the language part of it, and get off this kick with the bottle, all that sort of thing.
So what we got to do is film you coming down like that at the same pace as you coming into the leg like that.
Okay.
I don't know what about his movies that he's making, the message he's trying to send, if they're supposed to be entertaining, if they're supposed to have some kind of moral value to them, I don't know. And it just seems to me that with movies out there, so many movies being made in such a big selection that people can choose from, what is it about these movies that he thinks are special that people will go out of their way to purchase?
Here we go. Now.
You bent your knife. Hold on.
Here's that sucked.
Let me unbend it. Hold on. Don't cut yourself.
One day I was partying in my basement, and I always used to get, like, pissed off inside because I would want to party really heavy and no one else would, you know, and then all of a sudden Mark came over, and it's either I had a bottle of vodka or he had a bottle of vodka, but anyway, we were drinking vodka, and I was so happy that I found someone who would drink vodka with me, you know, so, and then Mark would drink vodka with me all the time. I'd go over there all the time, and we'd buy a fifth of vodka, and we'd share it, you know, and that really made me happy.
Get ready again. Put your hand right on the button. Now, I'm serious, man. Make sure it stays integrated and meshed. Okay, action. Keep it rolling. Cut. Thank you.
Done good, son.
Melissa Cole saying she was going to take the kids away. And
why does she want to take the kids?
Because, I won't marry her because Joan's around. I mean, she's living with this dude now for 3 years, you know. And my kids live over there. I mean, why can't I be with Joan and have my kids too, just like she, her situation, you know. And I can't, man.
Did you tell her this?
Well, of course, yeah, I told her that. And she don't give a fuck.
Are you afraid?
Oh, yeah, because people take action, you know. People say that it's just words and words, and all of a sudden one day, you know, she's moved out of state, which she's wanted to, said she's going to do and all kinds of stuff, you know. So it's like if she can't have me, she's just going to take the kids away. I can't even believe she would say shit like that. I mean, that's crazy. I love my kids, man, and I want to be a good father. You know, I'm trying to get all this shit done, you know, and you can't have your cake and eat it too all the time, you know. I don't want to end up being nothing.
Holy shit.
Bill! Where are you?
Hey. Now I'll show you this song. I'll sing it for you. So here's to the joys we have together when we met in June. Let us be the way we were. Sorry, I miss you so much since you died. Since you wanted to die.
It's pretty.
That's the end.
It's a pretty optimistic view.
That's
here.
Not the one I had in mind, though. I had another one in here.
Where'd it go?
I don't know. I couldn't find it.
Are these songs you wrote?
Well, this is what happened to me. So goodbye, dear. Hope you'll be in heaven where you belong. I was wondering, do they smoke cigarettes in heaven? I don't think so. I don't think so. I still love you. I'll visit your grave every day. I'll visit it sometime if I ever find it. I'll find it. They'll tell me where it is. So goodbye, sweetheart. Bye bye, blues. Bye bye, blues.
That's non-alcoholic, man. All right, well, let me open this up, man, and let me get this sucker out. Check it out. This is my first goddamn turkey.
Yeah. Okay. Bye, bye. See ya.
Okay, have a good time, Ma.
Yeah.
Listen, would it make you feel better if we get that that house of schnapps?
Yeah, do that.
Would you like that?
Yes, I would.
What would you like, man?
Well, I'd like to have a peppermint schnapps with Sprite and ice in it and 2 gobs of it. Got a good taste.
My dad's up north, cold, wishes us well. My mom and my brother are having a very sterile dinner somewhere, talking very sterilely about some very sterile subject.
Willie, you ready to take a bath now,
yes,
man?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's go, man.
Okay.
Bill.
I'm trying.
Bill.
I'm trying.
No. Okay. Just no. Put your feet back. Put your feet back.
Booga.
Yeah, well, same deal. You're a man out of control. Just look the other armpit.
Oh my God.
That's a wicked ass toenail, dude.
The whole
Whoa! That toenail's more than a quarter inch thick.
I know.
That's a science photo.
Science photo?
Yeah, they could use that in science class.
Science class?
All right, Bill, I think you're done here.
No, you got to do my back part.
Well, you got to lift your back up. What am I doing? I'm washing Bill's clothes. Fucking man's inhumanity in a man. Doesn't mean you have to be a goddamn saint, but was wash the boy's handkerchiefs and socks.
So how long has he been soaking? You know the man's freezing in there.
Just 10 minutes. No, I'm trying to jack him up with hot water.
With his peppermint schnapps?
Yeah, well, that was his idea. Not mine, believe
me.
Well,
I hope he doesn't pass out in there.
No, it's strictly monitored.
Who's monitoring?
I'm monitoring. What's that all so funny about that?
Come on, Bill.
Oh, Bill.
Bill.
Yeah,
let me hold your arm. Yeah.
It's not really coming in pieces, it's coming in like flakes, so cooking it at 325 was actually the right thing to do.
Mike!
Hey,
dude, what's up, man? I ain't seen you for a while. Your smiling face?
Yeah,
what the hell you got to say for yourself,
happy
man?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, man. What do you have to say for yourself?
Nothing really.
What do you got in that bag?
Soda.
Soda?
Yeah.
Well, you're lucky we got a lens cartoon taken care of.
Yeah.
You look happier than hell, Jack.
Yeah, so do you.
Well, I ought to be, man. What do you know that we don't?
Well, I won $50 on a lottery ticket today. But I don't want them guys to know, because otherwise they'll want to borrow money from me.
Yeah, have a seat, Phil. Dinner served.
Huh? Right here?
Yeah, have a seat.
Good.
Head of the table.
Your
executive producer. Okay, Bill, what you need? You need some peas, corn, potatoes, turkey.
I need a knife.
Yeah.
I see great cinnamonness.
Cinnamon.
Cinema.
Cinnamon.
Dude. Dude, I see great cinema.
Well, oh, that's good. There's something good anyhow. But I don't know what it is.
Yeah. You know?
You're going to fucking sing your whole life around surrounded by people. We're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to do that. What do you think? What do you fucking really think, huh? Huh? What do you really think?
About what?
I've, for years, man, I've been trying to face up to who I am and shit like that, but I can't. I don't know why, man. It's like I know where I want to be and what I want to do, and so I don't know. It's how I'm going to come out of all of this stuff.
He wants to be somewhere where he's not. But then, don't most people want to be somewhere where they're not?
Hey man, you ripped that one song off, I hate to tell you, from Black Sabbath.
Yes, I wrote did. All the words.
Yeah, but dude, I'm seeing there's an unconscious influence.
Yeah, but all your ideas come from somewhere else, Mark. You can't make up an idea by yourself.
Well, no, dude.
It's got to come from somewhere.
Yeah,
man.
But that's
an idea for anything.
Yeah, but have you listened to the two? That's an exact copy.
No, it's not though.
You changed one word.
No, I changed all. I used one word. I used the word insane, and that's it. What's that?
The Ghost of Christmas Past.
Oh.
You have to whisper, okay?
All right.
Okay, yeah, because otherwise we'll get into trouble.
What?
Dude, otherwise we'll get into trouble.
All right.
I've really been unhappy, probably at least for a good week, and it just got worse. I decided to use it to my advantage and start working on Northwestern. And it's going to be a long, tough road writing this script, but I'm taking my depression into Dawn's character and trying to get some good stuff out of it.
Are you thankful, Mike? I don't know. Some things, I guess. I don't really know. It's like I'm thankful that I won $50, you know, the other day. Thankful.
He came over and he put a smile on my face. And I didn't even want to wake up tomorrow morning, man. I had nothing to look forward to. I'm thankful that Mike came over and he put a smile on my face, talking his shit.
That is wicked.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
What are you watching, Mark?
Northwestern from 1990, 6 years ago. And we're looking and we're thinking about stuff right now. That is really, really, that's really, really cool with that handheld with the wheelbarrow, but it's going to be smoothed out, you know, but at least I was out.
You started shooting this 6 years ago?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. And I felt it many years before that.
And why'd you stop?
I think obviously there's got to be some fear, like if you actually go ahead and do it and complete it, there's more consequences to it. You let a day go by and fantasize, and then that day slips into years, and all of a sudden you're sitting in this living room watching something for 6 years ago, and that shot does look good right there down the aisle. I'll be right back. And don't stop till I say cut. Roll it.
No, you.
What's cut? What? Now what?
You, because you got dogs, so you can hardly see your mouth anymore.
I cannot be dead center in the frame. In front of my sight of vision,
That should occupy more of the frame than the back of my head. Okay, Ma, just tell me how it looks.
You go down when you do it.
Oh, no, I'm trying to get out of frame
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
Okay, can we camera roll? Did you just turn off the camera?
Yeah.
Oh, cut. Am I framed up?
Yep. Oh, now I see there's a frame there.
Yeah. Oh, no. What are you talking about, Ma?
Yeah.
Just never mind, man. It's just, okay, we got it. The camera's rolling, sound is rolling.
I see a frame inside here.
Yeah, that's a TV frame. That's the frame we're trying to...
Oh, then you should be higher, much higher up, though. Your face is, you're more above you.
Where am I at now, Ma, with all of this film burning?
Yeah, that's okay, because... It's
okay, ready? Yeah. Absolutely quiet, please?
Yeah. See, you got out of the frame several times, and then you jumped in again. Gosh, it's so uncomfortable here.
Did you turn the camera off?
Yeah.
But I didn't say cut. Now, cut.
Excellent.
Okay.
Okay. You want to roll this, honey?
Good morning, Monica. Mark just wanted me to call to let you know what was happening. Right. And then we're going to come over by you and finish something up over there, something with the car.
John came and Alyssa was here and left. Mark is right in the middle between them.
You've just ended what we've just begun.
You fucking left me.
I needed a break.
3 fucking years ago. Why are you?
It's nothing that lasts, you know. But I think that this will last for some time.
You think what will last?
The problem between Alyssa, Mark, and John and Mark.
What are you doing here?
When I run this bollocks, that'll be the last take of the of Colvin. You know, I don't know. I get the kind of weird to do the last shot of the film. Well, I guess not. I think everything actually makes sense. It's me alone, doing it. Sitting here in this car. I think as Joni put it, now you got nothing. So she walked off into the sunset. Alyssa Rue and we were just really getting so well along and just starting into things, and Alyssa came over, man, and was humiliated the situation, and I'm just going to do the last shot of the film here. My mom's coming out to take a picture.
He lives for movies, making movies. Always dreaming that someday, he will make a big movie.
Do you think he ever will?
It costs money, and where is he getting the money from? I don't know. I don't think so.
Dawn, what are you doing? You get settled now. Okay, Robert, you ready?
Cowards, you belong to us. listening to the ADR work right now.
What's ADR work?
Additional dialogue recording.
Additional dialogue recording.
When the original dialogue recording while the camera was running is not good enough because of camera noise or extraneous noise, you must re-record it in a more subtle environment. You understand now?
No.
What is it you do not understand? There you go. Here.
Are you editing? You are too. We have to.
The editing, every scene has been edited. Right now, I'm just fine cutting. Tomorrow, man, I'm going in there. I'm staying the whole day, staying overnight. Boom.
Well, doing what? If you have, are you
editing?
Editing.
Fine cutting. Fine cutting.
Oh, fine cutting. Oh, hallelujah.
I'm never drinking or using drugs again.
Are you sure about that?
I'm 100% positive.
I did that myself, man, on the word processor. See, I did two different types of...
That sounds good. The description sounds intriguing.
You know, Mike, I could really use your expertise at remembering things to figure out where frame 6962 is at this point.
Well, it's definitely a sign of voodoo.
Why is it a sign of voodoo?
It's an unnatural cross, Mark. It's not like a...
What, do you think when Jesus was hanging there, he thought it was natural?
Are you coming down here tomorrow, Mark?
Yes, but I got to work at the cemetery tomorrow. The boss looked at me in the eye and said, Mark, I hope this is the beginning of a long relationship. I'll tell you what, man, that scared the shit out of me. Years of vacuuming at a cemetery, man. I don't see how people can go year after year at these fucking... stupid jobs, not want to make something of themselves. I don't get it, man. But no, you ain't going to see me vacuuming no floors. Give this a handful of weekends, man, and it's out.
Mark.
They're from the cemetery.
They sell flowers there.
No, this is like from the flower shop or something. I have no... Look, I don't even care. All I know it has nothing to do with any grave or taking anything. This is
they
flowers.
Don't have graves there anyways, right? They just have vaults.
Right. That is a grave. They've got graves in the yard, but I'm just saying it's a new thing. No one possesses it. No one owns it. It's my flower to you. Now watch out, man. Now, Donnie, get your sleeping bag ready.
Not a sleeping bag.
Shit.
Shit. All I can see is purple land.
Is that the first... Did you swear, man?
Purple.
I don't care. I'm just asking if I'm...
No.
If I'm hearing things and I'm going to sleep because I never hear you swear.
Never swear.
I thought you said shit.
Did
you?
Did.
Huh?
No. Did I?
Yeah, you did. I just want to know because I'm think I don't want to be hearing things.
That's, no.
I don't care. I'm just asking.
You're hearing things.
No, I don't. I got good auditory senses.
The move stopped. If he batted in right hip, how would he snap the ball?
He would have patted his right hip before he put
his hand down in the ball. My dad has always had a host of recommendations for what career fields I should pursue. Truck driver, police officer, electrician, etc., etc.
What did he think about your filmmaking?
He thought it was thoroughly foolish when I was like 14. Now he's very adamant about me getting the film done. I says, man, maybe I should just get a job and quit this film. And he's like, no, you can't. You can't quit the film. You got to get it done.
What's the relationship between your parents?
Oh, man, they're always fighting all the time. Always. They never got along. I mean, since I was around. Man. I wouldn't allow for my kids to go through that shit, man, because, you know, you give them a destiny and they've got something to look forward to. I was totally uncool. I mean, it was totally without thinking the way they acted, you know, and what effect it would have on us, you know, all three of us growing up. And now they're totally cool. You couldn't ask for better parents, but they were out of control.
Hey, how the hell far away is this marsh now?
Well, coming up.
This is a sound for the woods. It's going to totally suck. That's a cut because there's not one fucking bird. All I hear are trucks. I'm going to have to go to Kettle Moraine or something like that. So there's absolutely nothing recorded for Pike Lake.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
My mom packed us the lunch.
Did she? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we got Polish sausage, cheese and crackers, and other stuff.
Good to see a smile on your face. How you doing?
Well,
we're going to do this by the numbers now. We got to do a little sound recording. Tell them we have to do it now.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, bye-bye now.
Okay, thanks a lot, Ma. We'll see you around one. Yep, bye-bye. Okay, we got to do one line for the film. No one can hear you say, it's all right, it's okay, there's something to live for, Jesus told me so.
When am I going to eat my dinner here?
Can you give him some cheese and crackers? Can we get the man something to eat so we can record this this one bit of dialogue here?
Oh, nuts.
Try a piece of this.
Well, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
Don't have a damn thing to drink either.
Here, Bill.
Get him a soda, Mike.
Here you go. Here's a soda, Bill.
Oh, thanks.
Don't spill it. That's brand new soda from Coca-Cola. It's called Surge.
So it's the first line of the film, man. It's got to be on the money here. Roll down the window, Bill.
It's all right.
Okay, cut. All right, man. Shit. It's, you gotta give it some passion too, man, and you gotta, it's alright, it's okay, there's something to live for, Jesus told me so.
It's alright, there's something to live for, Jesus told me so.
Okay, great, Bill, but we have to have fluidity in there.
It's all right. It's okay.
Okay, cut. You got to bring passion to it. A message. It's a message.
This is for the shits and for the birds. This is for the birds.
Okay, I believe we can do this. I believe this can be done, Bill. Hey, man, Mike, why don't you keep track of what takes these are, man? Is this fucking take seven? Okay, let's do take seven, man.
It's all right. It's okay.
Cut. Okay. You have to believe in what you're saying, Bill.
You do? Well, I don't. I don't believe nothing what you're doing.
All right. Give it some passion. It's all right. It's okay. There's something to live for. Jesus told me so. You did it before. You could do it again. Okay, this is take 8.
It's all right. It's okay.
Okay, that's fine. You got to watch your teeth, too, because they clack a little bit when they loosen up in the mouth. And take 10.
It's all right. It's okay. It's something to live for. Jesus told me so.
Bill, you couldn't ask for anything better. I think it was recorded too high. Give it all you got. What take is this? 16. This is take 16. Let's go. Take 30.
All right.
Hold up. Take 30.
It's all right. It's okay. This, Jesus told me so. There's something to live for.
Okay. Cut. Take 31.
No, oh, is that enough now?
No, listen, Bill.
I ain't going to do this anymore. That's all for me. Goodbye.
Okay. I'm going to see what we have to work with. I'm going to... Jesus Christ, man.
And it's like the whole room is just filled with this thick green and red web, you know, and it's coming out of Lauren, and it's coming out of the table, and it's coming out of the walls, and it's coming out of the floor, you know. And all of a sudden, my face hit the table, you know, and I blacked out. So Laura dragged me outside and laid me on the grass, you know, hoping I'd wake up, you know. And then her grandma came home, who she lived with, you know, and her grandma called an ambulance, you know. So I'm laying in the hospital, passed out. They got my brain on a brain scanner, and you know how your brain's supposed to go beep, 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 beep? Well, I just went straight across, you know. And the doctor goes to my mom, he goes, I don't think your son is going to make it. Sorry, you know, I think he's going to die, you know. I don't think there's any way we can bring him, you know, wake him up or nothing, you know. So all of a sudden I smell this real strong smell, and it's smelling salts they got in front of my nose, and I start to wake up, and all I see is bright lights, and I'm like, damn, where the hell am I, you know? And then I realize I'm in the hospital, so I start checking my pockets for the acid, which they analyzed one hit. It turned out to be a blotter paper dipped in liquid PCP with a little bit of downer in it. And they said if it hadn't have been for that little bit of downer, I would be dead. But anyways, I'm checking my pockets for the acid, you know, because I was going to drop my other 3 hits in the hospital, you know. And all of a sudden, my ma walks in the room, and she's holding the bag of acid like this, you know. I'm like, damn, you know, now I can't drop it. The rest of my acid in the hospital. So she flushes it down the toilet, you know. And then they kept me in the hospital another month, and they said I was the worst case they ever had, and they let me go, and I continued using drugs all the way up until a little under a year and a half ago. And that's I have more stories like that I could tell you too. All kinds of drug related stories. And tell you, you know. So, I'll try and keep you awake with him tonight.
Need another tape in there. It's almost like the day before Christmas.
That's right.
We did it.
Oh, gosh.
Look at that. Right. First play. That's it. Game's over.
I'm already close up.
I don't want to take no phone calls. You take a paper out, you buy a CP16, and you shoot the films. Why is it, every time you talk about making a film, they talk about dream? Oh, I'm going to go work
at
a... I'm going to work in a factory. Oh, yeah, that's cool, man. We're going to drill holes together. Here, man, come on in.
All
right. Hi.
Hey, you know what?
I won $200 today.
Yeah. What are you going to do with that $200?
Oh, no, I gave 100 to my dad, and I got 65 at home in my room, and I got 20 in my wallet. So if you can think of something we can spend 20 bucks on, maybe we can spend
it. What we can spend 20 bucks on? About four pitchers at Jim Mitchell's.
I don't want to buy no beer.
I don't either, man, but if you're willing to buy it, I'll drink it.
I don't know.
There's 4 minutes left.
Yeah, that's what we are going to see now.
We're going to Jim Mitchell's.
No, are you
kidding? Yes, we are.
I'm not going to any bar. But I'm not taking you to any bar. You have had more than enough to drink.
Okay, you know what? Weak.
He can never quit. When he drinks, starts drinking, he can never quit. Did he close the door?
Yeah. Just outside, Patriot 4. Shit.
Yep. Oh, God. Look at that. Look on the screen.
Every bitch-ass motherfucking factory worker is going to go down like that, too, bitch motherfucker.
Mark, none of that conversation.
Just like that. I will never be like you. You fucking job-working 40-hour motherfucker. You can go to fucking hell.
It's a pity. But tomorrow he'll be okay again.
I'll be okay again. I'll be just like you, wandering around the kitchen just like you. Yeah, you're right. Never.
Yeah, well, I'm glad this is the package one. Yeah. Yes.
Sunrise to sunset. Sunrise to sunset.
That is sweet. Hit me with a couple more. Hold on, Don. Sunrise to sunset.
Mike, are you all right? Are you all right, Mike?
Every time I spoke with him and every time we got together, there was something that seemed to go wrong or did not go as planned. And he always seemed to forge ahead and go through with the project. And I think that's the best thing that I can say about his character. He's indomitable.
And I'll say take two, give it a couple seconds, and you're burning in fucking hell. Move up a little bit, Robert. Okay, cool. And take two. Ready, Mike? When I say take one, give it a couple seconds. Take one. That was wicked, man. Robert. Okay. Man, oh man, oh man.
I'll take off the scarf.
Wow, she set the roll. How tight are you on her? Like this tight? Oh, you're looking better now, Robert.
I'm cold as hell.
Yeah, you might as well keep the jacket on for a few. Definitely. There you go.
All right, freeze that.
Freeze that. Dude, you just arched your eyebrow.
Shouldn't I have?
That's cool. Oh, this is great. Right here. Hold that, please.
It's the year of the independent film. Great performances, new faces. I mean, really new faces. Who are you people? I'll tell you who they are. They're unbelievably talented people. Great films, unusual films, risky plots, great direction, great...
Okay, great.
You forgot the wiggle.
Yeah, you forgot the wiggle. But I think 22A really is the keeper, Mega.
Okay, so these are mock-ups that I did. Okay. And I can do a lot of different things with them depending on what size and what you want to print on. But...
Somebody made that up, you know.
Oh, it's Bill's birthday.
his birthday.
Happy birthday, William. What do you think about that?
Doesn't do much for me.
You look at Bill today, he was a scholar at one time, you know, but he really was. And I always looked up to him as a brother, like he had an answer for everything. I mean, a proper answer, or how to spell a word, or he knew all that stuff.
Nice day if it doesn't rain.
What are some of the influences that help shape the Mark Borchardt format or the Mark Borchardt style?
When I was growing up and drinking, the people that I was around with, they were the Americans who were still fighting the West with a bottle of vodka in their hand, man. They were still, there was still territory out there, you know, in the mind or in around the block or something like that.
Expand on that a little. I mean, this sort of
Okay, listen, man. There was no such thing about college or religion or anything. There was drinking. And everything would revolve around that. The money, the time spent, everything. And it was America at that point.
And we had like 15 people in Mark's backyard. We had like 5 cases, not even exaggerated, 5 to 6 cases of beer cans just sitting there. And my dad came over. Yeah, Pops, we need more beer. So he went and procured us some beer, came back, and he, you know, drank a couple beers with us. All of a sudden, Mark's parents pulled up. my dad immediately flanked around the garage and, you know, cut through the back. He was out of there right away. Didn't want nothing to do with it. He knew what was going on, you know.
What do you think of Ken Keeney?
He is a bad influence, and Mark is a bad influence for Kenny. Those two shouldn't be together.
With the parents, you know, it's Kenny Keene's fault. You know, he twisted your arm. With the other parents, too. You know, and that's all bullshit because, you know, I think peer pressure is bullshit.
Where are we headed, Mark?
We're headed to jail to pick up Kenny. He'll be happy as hell. He's out in 2 minutes, man.
And how did they get him?
They were inside the house, and all of a sudden, him and his ma, the lights went off, and they went downstairs to check the fuse box, and the boys were right there waiting on them.
Who were the boys?
The detectives. They got him. Definitely. Now it's 10:04. There's the boy.
There he is.
Yep.
Now you gotta fit him in the car.
Hell yeah.
Hey, Kenny, what's up?
Oh, you sure we got enough people involved here?
Where are you sitting?
How's it going? I don't know. I guess I'm sitting up there with you.
All right, I'll move over.
Whoa, dude, you're pressing the gas, man.
Sorry about that,
man. What the fuck, man?
Okay, right here I had 7999, and then right here I had 7980, so I had to take the marker and cross out 7980 and put in 8000.
What are you doing here, Mike?
I'm doing X numbers for Mark and Kenny and myself.
What time is it?
It's about 14:02.
I need some fresh air. I'm gonna suck in a lot of fresh air. I'll see you to the door.
Yeah.
Here, after you, Ma.
Okay. Okay.
As soon as I wake up tomorrow, Mark, I'll be back.
All right.
Action. When you swing here, swing in the middle. This is the last one. This is the last one we got, man. Hold up, man. Where's that plane at?
Action.
Action. Action.
Take 14. Action.
I'm hitting it as hard as I can. It's not
okay. There's one other thing. Mike, come down here real quick. I got to get the headlights. Knock out.
Do you think this is a little bit cathartic for you?
Very cathartic, Mark.
You know what cathartic means?
No.
But it means, I think it means getting things out of your system, man.
Yeah, okay, that is cathartic.
Is it? You got that out of your system?
Pretty damn cathartic, Mark.
Cool. Last time I was out here was about 7-8 years ago to shoot Northwestern, and we shot here in the summer, dead of winter, man, all of that. I'll be back.
With Northwestern, he's putting the more drama into it. Obviously, this is not a horror film. This is a more of a life and times. Probably going to use a lot of his own experience, you know, as far as what he went through in life is going to be in this film.
You know, these are the vistas right here. And what does it feel like to have a couple rusty cars parked right against a rusty background? Because this is really fall in winter when the earth decays and the cars have decayed and these guys are decaying, you know. And that's what it's all about, you know. It's that's what it's all about, rust and decay. But then within that is the warmth of the soul and stuff like that, you know. It's lonely roads, but there's warm houses and cars. This is the Gardens of Eternal Life, man. They got these people like stacked six high, man. You got one underground grave, that's one amount of money. You got six of them, man. It's a vertical business around here. You know, they just keep building, stacking them up. But what we're doing, man, is making sure that people are out of here. This dude claims I locked him in a couple times, and now that I think of it, that could have been any time during the week. Just wanna make sure we don't lock anyone in. This place is big, man. In fact, we'll just kind of go over here. There's a river and... Jesus.
This has been going on now, literally, for 3 years. A Thursday night's opening will be just 10 days shy of 3 years. But through all of this, Marcus kept an equanimity.
Oh. All right, thanks. Here.
You know what? We just ran out of a bunch of flyers. So this is all we got left. So you guys can't be just putting them everywhere. You got to put them strategically, okay?
Got it.
Do you have it, Mike?
Yes.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah?
Mike, dude, what's the up? Flyers, man.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Hey, now, dude, where are you walking? I mean, we got...
I'm walking in there to hang around strategically.
You need flyers, man.
I know, that's why I'm asking you for them.
No, that's why I'm giving you them. All right, now listen, dude. So you and Matt, man, make it look good, make it look sharp, and I know you can do it.
We were in the union, and we put the flyers on top of a bunch of newspapers.
Yeah.
And they were like, the newspapers were like the Wisconsin Light, okay? So some guy came in to replace the old copies of the Wisconsin Light.
Yeah.
With new ones.
Yeah.
And took the old ones.
Yeah.
And he took the flyers that were on top of the old ones, and took off with them because he didn't realize that they were our flyers. So that's what happened.
But, dude, that doesn't make any sense.
Made sense to him.
I'm in the process of taking down over 1,400 flags. I believe it was yesterday. I was called to the bathroom at the cemetery. to take care of something. I walked in the bathroom, and in the middle toilet right there, somebody didn't shit in the toilet, somebody shat on the toilet, they shat on the walls, they shat on the floor. I had to clean it up, man, but before that, for about 10 to 15 seconds, man, I just stared at somebody's shit, man. To be totally honest with you, man, it was a really, really profound moment. So I was thinking, I'm 30 years old, and in about 10 seconds, I gotta start cleaning up somebody's shit, man.
What do you think are the rewards of this, Mike?
I don't know. Maybe you'd be a famous movie producer or something.
A what?
A famous movie producer.
What are the rewards of that?
I don't know. Sex, money, power.
Sex, money, power.
I don't know.
I was going to come in and help Mark cement splice, and then this little disaster happened. So now I'm just pulling the shots that were supposed to be cut, the two frames that are missing.
Big delay, big problem. Hopefully we can splice it so it doesn't show up too bad. But Mark's in full depression at this point.
Here is a piece of film. This piece of film must be up on the screen. This is what happened, man. Where is this part of the film? What are you going to have, a blank spot on the film? What are you going to do? You got to find each missing piece and tape this in. That's what I mean. You go to a movie, you see this. You don't pay to see that. What the fuck is supposed to occur here?
You guys want to make films when you get older?
No.
Because you gotta buy some stuff and it takes so much money and so much time.
And you gotta work 100 years.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
Okay, that's gonna go on the other side now. We need two more. Where's our leader? Good, dude. Momo.
Be done in about less than an hour, and so I will be drinking now. Yep, that was the last splice of my film, man. Now we're just gonna roll through the end right here, roll black along the song.
I think there'll be a break for a little while from maybe 2 days. No, I hopefully a little longer than that, but I think it will start up right away again.
Would you buy this movie for $14.95?
Yeah, hell yeah, man, you know.
I can find 3,000 people like you across this country, man, I'm in business.
Of course, man, I mean, sure, that's what Rush tickets were.
After this car, we're gonna stop traffic.
I hear that he finished it up a couple of minutes ago, so we're right on schedule here.
Hot off the presses.
Did you get some sleep?
No, dude, I'm going to sleep now. I can't even stand up no more.
3 years in the making, you know, I put a lot of work. This ain't my film, but I put a lot of work in this film. I've known Mark for 20 years, and he's, you know, like my best friend, and it's done. You know, so after tonight, we can sleep, and then on to the next project, you know.
Uh-oh. Uncle Bill! Bill's here. There you go, the executive producer, man. Come right on over here, man. Hey. Whoa. Oh, it's all right, man.
Those are tickets that you're selling now.
I was wondering.
Dude, I was wondering. Well, you happy now? Or you got finances on your mind?
When I hear the projector rolling and I see Kevin on the screen,
yeah.
I believe it.
All the time. The start of your money back. Of your money back.
Thank you.
Yeah!
Something to live for. Jesus told me so.
How's the writing going?
How's it going? It's going fine.
Is it?
Hey, did I stutter, man? I said it's coming along fine. Yeah, I just don't get it, man. You're nowhere near getting it.
Man,
take it easy. Here's one on your first book. Good luck to you.
Thanks, Ray.
Uncle Bill, thanks, Dad, and Ma, man, for all the sandwiches and the money. I'm going to wake up to hell tomorrow, man. Those credit cards ain't going to look nice, man. But I'm always a man for my word. Mike Schenck, you happy?
Yeah, I'm happy.
How happy are you, man?
I'm very happy.
Well, good, man, because don't drink. You're going to set the world's record. Okay, man, I'm cold down. But, hey, I'm serious, man. If I miss somebody or anything, man, thanks a million for helping out, man, because... I couldn't have whatever done it.
Yeah! Yeah!
Yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed doing it, you know. I value his friendship and enjoy doing stuff with him, you know, and making movies is what he does, you know, and so I make movies with him.
Well, I hope all the best for Mark. He works hard, and he has a lot of dreams, and I hope they come true.
Product accomplished, whatever. God told me so.
You've done good, Bill. Congratulations. So, you ready to make the next movie?
Sure.
Good. 40 to 50 grand.
Yeah, you told me that already.
You want your dreams to come true?
My dreams? What dreams are that? Is that...
What's your American dream?
I don't have any dreams anymore.
You don't?
No.
You can't stop now. What are you going to do, sit around outside of a trailer? We'll film you sitting outside of a trailer, man, but we ain't going to live sitting outside of a trailer.
Where else am I going to sit?
Well, you're going to sit on it by a green, large green grass. Look, man, let me tell you something. Old people are yammering and yammering about is the American dream. All they're talking about is the land of opportunity. All it is lip service. Here, we're living it, and I will be goddamned if I don't get the American dream.
Hello? Come again? Come again? Stay a while. Stick around a while. Stick around.
as long as you can. Heaven help you. God help you. Jesus help you. Everybody else help you. Everybody make happy. Make everybody happy. Be a comedian.
And he danced for you in worn out shoes, with silver hair, a ragged shirt, and baggy pants. He would do the old soft shoe. He could jump so high, jump so high. And then he'd lightly touch down. I met him in a cell in New Orleans, I was. While I was down and out, he looked to me to be the very eyes of age. As he spoke right out, talked of life. Lord, he talked of life. Laughed, slapped his leg a step. He said his name was Bojangles. Then he danced a lick right across the cell. He grabbed his pants, took a better stance, jumped up high. That's when he clicked his heels. Then he let go a laugh. Lord, he let go a laugh. Shook back his clothes all around. That was Mr. Bojangles. Mr. Bojangles. Mr. Bojangles. Of the times he worked for minstrel shows.